Summer Breakfast with Sam Edmund and Simon O'Donnell.
Well, Western United are the reigning A-League champions after becoming the fastest expansion side to win the title after finishing outside the top two. Their manager also knows a thing or two about big moments in big World Cup matches. And geez, didn't we see one of them yesterday morning? He's also, Scoob, the subject of a new docu-series that's about to hit the small screen. His name, of course, is John Aloisi. Johnny, welcome to SEN.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for being on. We appreciate it. I know you've got a busy day. Argentina 2, Australia 1. It could have been more in the dining moments as well. How do we absorb it, John? I guess disappointment, but for most of us, an overwhelming sense of pride at the same time.
Yeah, definitely sense of pride. That you always want to see your team win and go through, but we're playing arguably the best player of all time in Lionel Messi, and that was a difference. The boys did so well. They held them out for quite a long time. They made it hard for Argentina. They fought hard. And towards the end, we could have got something out of it. We could have got another goal and taken it into extra time. But Messi was a difference. He scored a great goal. And then in the second half, they got that second. Then we got a bit of a lifeline with Goodwin. And we nearly had one right at the end with young Duran Quayle, 18-year-old. So there's a lot of positive signs to come out of this World Cup. The boys did exceptionally well.
Yep, an amazing run by Aziz Bajic as well that could have found its way into the back of the net. There was a golfing class, John. I mean, we knew that and we saw that. But I guess the Aussie spirit, the togetherness, the sense of team and all having a common purpose, the buy-in. I mean, these are all hallmarks of excellent management, aren't they? And Arnie's copped some serious stick over the time, but does deserve some credit for the way he's been able to harness this squad and the chemistry that it's played with.
Yeah, I agree. Arnie deserves a lot of praise for this World Cup. He got the boys believing. You have to remember the France game. We lost 4-1 and were completely dominated. And to turn it around within 3 days and beat Tunisia and then go on and beat Denmark and put on a performance like that against Argentina. If you look at our names on the team sheet, really we shouldn't be competing with these nations. The boys are a good, individually they're good, but they're not playing at the highest level. But as a group, they are strong. The team spirit was there. And also the tactics that Arnie used, that was spot on. His game management was good. The changes that he made during the game. I thought that Arnie got it spot on during the World Cup.
John, how do we bottle this and take it forward? It's such a disrupted program, I suppose. Now, next World Cup's 4 years down the track, and a lot of our friendlies against other nations have been played away from home. Is there a recipe that you think can be used to really bottle what's been built up here and help the Socceroos grow into the next World Cup?
I think they have to make the most of it that we've got a lot of players in our national team playing here in the A-League and use that, they're here on our doorstep, follow them, go watch them, support them. And then when the national team do play the games, they're household names, these players. And I think that's the big thing because, everyone talks about the golden generation back in 2006 and everyone supported them because they knew them, knew their names, they knew their faces. And if we can get that side to that level that everyone that follows the game knows the players that are playing for our national team, I think that's the best way that we can do it. We can't get around that we're not going to play another World Cup for 4 years. Hopefully we get there. We have got an Asian Cup coming up within a year's time. The Matildas will play a home World Cup. So it's exciting for the game at the moment. And, we have to try and make the most of it.
Where are the broadcast rights and where do you think the A-League's at and can increase that, I suppose, recognition of the players that do take part, John?
Yeah, it's on 10 Play and Paramount Plus. Look, Paramount Plus is still growing because it's very new. And 10 Play, they show one game a week live on 10 Bold or 10 Peach. So it's not there in front of you all the time. You do have to go look for it. But I think with the media attention at the moment on the game, that people will start to follow a little bit more. So let's hope that they do because, the more supporters you get of the game, because the actual A-League is a very good league. It's a well-respected league with foreigners that come in. They can't believe the level of it. So, we try and compare to the Premier League all the time, which we shouldn't. The Premier League is the best league in the world. We've got a very good level at the moment with the A-League and players playing for our national team.
Speaking of former Socceroo, 2005 penalty shootout hero John Aloisi. John, the way that I was saying earlier, the way the Socceroos and the Matildas unite the country never ceases to amaze. I mean, you got along to Fed Square for one of the games I saw. What have you made of the following and, I guess, the fervour that the national team's garnered this time around?
Yeah, look, I didn't get to experience, obviously, in 2006 because I was over there playing, but... you know, they said how good it was back then, but I've never seen anything like that before in Australia. You know, the way that the soccer is able to unite everyone, and, you know, I was there at Fed Square, the atmosphere, the emotion, you know, from everyone. Everyone was well-behaved as well. I know there were flares, but they were really well-behaved. And, you know, it was exciting to see because it's like a footballing country, you know. In Australia, we don't get to see it often. When I was in Europe, I got to see it quite a bit. But, you know, even seeing scenes in Darling Harbour, 20,000-30,000 people plus, Amy Park was nearly full, to watch it on the screens. You know, it's amazing what the national team can do for the country.
John, you mentioned Leo Messi, who's just got an enormous aura and presence about him. Might be the greatest to have ever done it. So they didn't take a backward step against him. You know, Bajic locked horns him a couple of times. Young Backus did a good job sort of effectively man-marking through the middle of the park. Then they sought out him after the game for a few selfies. Now, a few people have come for the boys over that. Where do you stand with something like that? They didn't shirk the issue on the pitch, but they got a couple of photos with him afterwards in a so-called, you know, fanboy moment. What did you make of all that?
Yeah, I don't mind that because they respect him, but they didn't fear him on the field. You know, they were up in his face. You saw it. You just mentioned it. Aziz Bajic, who I thought had an outstanding tournament, and if his goal went in, it would have been like a messy goal, really. Yeah. You know, Backus, all of them, Jackson Irvine, they all didn't shy away from, you know, getting stuck in with Messi and making sure he didn't have space and time. You know, it's not always easy. He seems to find space and time because he's that good. But then after the game, once the game's done, if they want a photo with, like I said, probably the best player I've ever seen. So why not? You know, that's something that will live with them forever.
How do you get around someone like Matty Ryan, who, again, he's another one who had a tremendous tournament, so assured, so composed, and he had a moment he'd love to forget against Argentina. How would you seek to pick him up?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, isn't it? Because, you know, that's the part of the goalkeeping role. You're always going to have a blunder in you. It's just it's disappointing that it's happened at a World Cup. But, you know, I think that Arnie and whoever's there, the boys, will support Matt Ryan because he hasn't only had an outstanding tournament. He's been outstanding for us for many years now. I think he's a record holder, along with Matthew Lecky, in terms of World Cup appearances. So he's experienced, he's a great goalkeeper, and he's a great leader. And he would have had a big part to play in the way that boys stuck together through the tournament.
John, you've experienced success in the A-League. As a coach, you've success in playing in a World Cup. Do you have ambitions to be a coach of the Socceroos at a World Cup at some stage?
Yeah, I'd love to. That's definitely an ambition of mine. It was no different as a player. You're striving to play for your national team, to play in the World Cup, to reach the highest level, and that's representing your country. So I see it no different as a coach. I would love to one day. When that comes along, I don't know, but it's definitely something that's in the back of my mind. And seeing, you know, what it can do for the country and, you know, how many people are so passionate about the game, I'd love to be involved in that again.
Now, John, you're the manager of West United at the moment, of course. Now, I'm told this United docu-series is so good that you might need to pick out a suit for the Logies next year.
Yeah, not sure about that one. I wasn't acting in it, believe me. You'll see an angry John Aloisi in there.
Well, I'm told that in episode 6, I mean, grown men have been known to cry. It's so stirring.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've seen it, obviously, and I got emotional watching it back because I didn't realise how many of my players were crying after the game. The emotion just flowed and just came out, and it was, look, episode 5 and 6 are awesome. You know, the first few episodes, it's a bit of a background about the club. You know, a club that has no home, no stadium, plays out of 5 different stadiums, and, you know, had a pretty bad year the year before. and to turn it around and you know, because the club's on a journey. The club is looking to build a stadium. They've their precinct, the training facility, will be done by June this year, so we'll be playing out of there next season. So it's all about the journey of a new club and how hard it is and how difficult it is, but to win it in the third season, it's some story.
Yeah, so I guess it's going to be something that the football heads will obviously enjoy, but Dan Jones is about part of the team to tie it all together. Normally does a good job of making the casual fan or the everyday sports fan, you know, be able to relate to it. So you don't need to be essentially a football diehard to enjoy it, do you? Because it's a great, as you say, great underdog tale at the end of the day.
Yes, you don't need to be a football lover. You just need to love, you know, a storyline, really, and that's what it's got. And there's a lot of moments in there. There's a, you know, player talks about his mental health issues, about, you know, living away from his family, and it's pretty raw at times, you know, to see that, because you don't often see that, you know, behind the scenes, and just the tension, and you know, sometimes after a game or during a game. At halftime can be quite funny to see if you're not used to it, because there's some players that get angry with each other. But it's just part of it, and it's a good watch.
So you're only in your fourth season. I think your stadium will arrive. Is it at some stage next year, John, that it'll be finished?
Yeah, well, the training facility will be finished this year, and we'll be playing out of there. It'll be 5,000 capacity at that ground, and then the stadium should be built within 2 years after that. So. And that'll be a 15,000-seater capacity. So it's exciting for the club. It's an inner area, Tarnit, where it's so the growth of that area is huge.
Yeah.
Within a 2 kilometre radius is 150,000 people. So it's a good spot for the club, and the club is in a, you know, they're trying to do the right thing and trying to make sure that they build something special.
John, you talk about the emotion of your players, and the doco shows that, and your emotion as a coach. Is that the biggest difference going from a player to a coach? Is managing all those different emotions of the players on your staff?
Yeah, it's the biggest one, and it's the one that it's a daily task, because you know you do have to manage groups, people, individuals. You know, what they're going through in their life, you know, how they're performing. And it's not only the players, it's the staff around you, and trying to put it all together, and trying to, because, you know, that people have different things going on in their life. So it's, you know, it's, that's why they call it management. And, you know, it's over years you get better and get a little bit more of an understanding what someone might be going through, but it is completely different. When you're a player, you're a bit selfish, you worry about yourself, even though it's a team environment, but you have to make sure that you're right personally. But as a coach, you're trying to make sure that the whole group is good.
Johnny, always a pleasure to talk to you, mate. Appreciate you making yourself available. Always really generous with your time. Can't wait to watch the United docu-series. I think it launches Wednesday. And, hey, best of luck for the A-League resumption as well after your World Cup hiatus.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me on.